SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell, Coast to Coast.
All right, Carver High, 8:30 tonight in Denver. Game two, Nuggets and Lakers. What's the skinny?
The skinny is that we have the Nuggets right now 5.5-point favorites in this one. The total bumped up to 226.5. Laker money line plus $1.80, minus 225 for the Nuggets. Do they go up 2-0, Scotty, or did the Lakers show you enough in that second half that maybe they figured a couple things out and might get themselves a win in Denver?
I think the Lakers are going to beat them tonight. I think they are. I'm going to take the points, and I think they're going to make it very interesting. I think they'll get home court if they can pull it off and go back to L.A. 1-1. And then Denver's, you know, I think got an issue on their hands. I saw a lot of positives in that loss in game one. They lost by six. They were down 21, and they got within three multiple times late and lost by six. So I think they can win this game tonight, without a doubt. Like, seriously, I mean, I think Denver could win by a bucket or two. I don't see them covering tonight. I think LA wins the game outright.
Yeah, look, I thought they showed you more in that second half that they could actually win a game there. I mean, the Suns gave you no, when they play those three games in Denver, you never thought once they could win a game there. At least the Lakers gave you a little bit of life that you think maybe they can actually win a game in that building where it's been very tough to beat Denver, as we know, especially here in the playoffs where they're undefeated. The most bet props for tonight: AD over 24.5, Jamal Murray to get the first field goal at 6-1. AD to score 20 plus, minus 250. Reeves over 19.5 points and assists. And LeBron to record a triple double. Everybody's after the LeBron triple double tonight at plus 825.
Yeah, look, I love that first one. AD over 24.5. I like AD to score 20 plus. Are you kidding me? Like, what do you have, 40 in game one? I like.
Yes.
What is it? Austin Reeves over 19.5? Is that where they got him at?
Points and assists. That's points and assists together, 19.5.
I mean, I think he can do that. I think the guys, he's going to score 15, 16 points at least. And I think he can have four dimes. Yeah, I like that. And now I'm not feeling triple doubles, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did it. You know, for me, I think it's got to be more of the same medicine. It's got to be Davis. I think LeBron has to physically impose his will on anyone. There's no one that can guard him on that team.
No.
There's no one. I think Gordon can bang with him. I think he can physically bang with him. He's big enough. But he'll mow through Porter, Pope, Murray, any of those. They're too small. Gordon's the only one big enough to at least try to handle him. So he should be able to get whatever he wants. I thought his buckets in game one were easy. Easy layups.
For the series, Nuggets still minus 250. Lakers plus 200. That is to win the series, of course, down 1-0 at this point. They will try to get it even tonight in Denver. That will now bring me, of course, to the NBA title odds, Scotty, which update, obviously these update after each game. The Celtics did lose last night. The Heat were pretty far down the board before this game, but now the Heat very much in the mix. I think they jumped from 14 all the way up to 7, Scotty, for the Heat. 7-1 for them now to win the NBA championship.
Yeah, we welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 159, Sports Byline USA. Deepak holding it down for us in the city by the bay. Good to have you with us on a Thursday, coast to coast. You know, I don't want to sound like, you know, nasty or anything. I just could care less about those odds. I mean, I think they're ridiculous. Like, they played one game in each of the conference finals, And you want me to ring up a champion already? I mean, it's 1-0 Miami. It's 1-0 Denver. And you're going to crown them already? It makes no sense to me at all, let alone picking who's going to win the series. Seriously, like, how many people have the stones? I do. I'm on Miami. How many people have the stones to take the Lakers? A lot of people. I don't think it's that shocking that the Lakers can play with the Nuggets. I think Denver's, for my money, they're the best team. I know everyone thinks it's Boston, and I don't at all. They all think it's Boston because of their depth or whatever it is. You know, it's really Tatum, Brown, Brogdon, right? And Smart's the actor, the flopper. He gets all the calls. He gets these phony-ass calls with his cheap-ass defense. Defensive player of the year, my ass. He's an actor is what he is. He should be making movies in Hollywood with as much flopping as he does. I'm not crowning Boston anything. They can't even win on their home floor. I mean, they're 4-4 in the playoffs at home. They're not dominating anything. Denver's been the most dominant team in the NBA playoffs. Boom. End of discussion.
We will
they already
come back,
crowned the Suns. What are the Suns doing now down in Cabo? What are they doing? Drinking tequila at Cabo Wabo? You better believe they are. They crowned them. That's that same nonsense. Who's going to win the championship every time someone plays a game? The Suns are going to win it all down in Cabo.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, the NBA draft order. One of the things I found interesting about it was how many guys from like the G League, Ignite, and all these players overseas, Elite, all these guys are getting top 10 mock draft, you know, consideration. Like I'm seeing like three or four guys that you've never heard of before that aren't, you know, playing college ball. They're playing G League that are going to get drafted in the top 10.
It is kind of amazing, to be honest with you. Like, it's so different from back in the day. Like, usually maybe there was one or two guys who obviously maybe they were coming out of high school, you know, Kobe, KG, you know, things like that. Now you got all these guys who go to this G League. And honestly, do we know if they're really that good? Like, it's the guys that go and play the 1 year of college ball. You get a little feel, like you watch them play against somewhat competition. Are these guys really going against anybody who matters in the G League? I don't know. Is Scoot Henderson destroying guys in the G League matter? I'm not sure. These twins,
he's legit.
The Thompson twins. I know he's legit.
They're legit.
Look, Scoot Henderson would probably be the top pick if Wembanyama wasn't in the draft. I understand that completely. But what about these other guys? Whether it's like I said, these Thompson twins. There's a few other guys as you get further down the list. I don't know. I just feel like there's guys that we've watched in college over one or two or 3 years that you probably get a little better handle on them than anybody else.
Well, look, I know the guy that runs the whole G League, and it's no joke. I think that because it doesn't get national television attention, it hurts it, right? But I think, in all honesty, that the players that are playing in it are, I think, one step ahead of college players. These are legitimate banging pros that aren't ready to be in the NBA yet, but are busting their ass playing at a level. I think it's one step over college, and that's why you're seeing all of them about to get drafted. It's turned into something bigger than anybody can imagine, and I would think in the next 5 years you'll see more and more of it on television. You have to remember, it's like invisible now. When do you ever see G League games? Like, you can watch it on, like in New York, you can actually watch G League games, these other teams that are in that league, but they get no national television attention like college basketball does. And then, you know, all these mouths that talk about college basketball and the, you know, game day shows and all these shows. I mean, DeCourcy does a show on Fox. CBS Sports Network has a college basketball shows all day, every day, and all night, every night. You know, Mountain West games, everything. The national television is the lacking entity of their problem.
So the Spurs did get the top pick. I know you weren't in yesterday. It's amazing how they won the lottery again with a huge player coming out as they did last time with Duncan. Charlotte moved up to number two. Portland moved up to number three. Houston slides back to four. Detroit slides back to five. That's kind of where the top five sits. You're already hearing. Yes, go ahead.
No, just the fact that Dallas kept that 10 really made me sick to my stomach that the Knicks didn't get it. The Knicks will never win a title ever. They never have any luck in this stupid draft. The one that they did was fixed. Everybody knows how they got Patrick Ewing. But I'll say this. The one thing that got my attention was when they got that pick, that bar in San Antonio, what a scene that was. I mean, that was a great scene. Now, I think there's nothing worse than him going there. For me, it's just oblivion playing there. And I felt, you know, strongly about getting him to Portland or Charlotte, right? So Portland gets the three. What do they say? Immediately they're thinking about trading it. And I also think that that's a mistake. They need to do something now and fast for Dame Lillard or he's leaving. They didn't get him, and San Antonio gets him. Duncan Robinson, and now they get this guy. It makes me sick to my stomach. It really does. And then he's going to play for that Tales of the Crypt down there. You got to be kidding me. That guy's got one foot in the casket. I can't even look at him.
He ain't retiring now. Not with that guy coming to town, that's for sure. So you're going to get a little bit more pop on the sidelines in San Antonio as Wembanyama.
What's he going to sit him down? Is he going to sit him down and not give him burn?
No, I think he'll give him burn. I think you're going to see him get a lot of burn. I think that's he's going to add a couple of years to Pop's long history and career.
Do you think they'll win a title in 2 years with that kid?
No.
If he's that good.
Not in 2 years.
Well, he's that good?
Not in 2 years, no.
Why not?
Well, that's what they all say. That's what they all say, but let's get in the NBA and let's play. I've heard all the stuff, bigger pick than LeBron, Kareem, all this stuff. You got to go in the league and play. We haven't seen the guy. I know he's played in France. He's played got to come in the NBA and play real ball with big-time players.
What do you think Joker would do to
all the stuff on the highlight reel. I want to see all the stuff on the highlight reel when he's going up against Joker. I want to see all the stuff that I see in this highlight reel. I want to come see him doing the NBA. He does that in the first 2 months next year. Sign me up. He'll probably win within 3 or 4 years. If he does all that stuff in the highlight reel right out of the gates, if he's that good.
They say he's the best draft pick ever.
Yeah, before he's played a game. So let's. That's a lot to live up to. That is a very big bar that you're setting for that kid before he even steps foot over here. So he's going to have to live up to that now. You mentioned the Blazers side of things. They're already looking to shop that third pick to improve the team around. Dame time. Quickly, let's do the Sixers. Harden is going to opt out of his deal, which everybody knew he was going to do anyway.
Who cares?
He's going to be a free agent. He wants a laundry list of things. He wants to go to a good team. He wants a team that will let him be himself on the basketball court. He wants like a 4-year deal. Anything else? For all that winning that he does, you want anything else, James? How about a private car to pick you up and take you to the court? What else do we need?
He's had a great career. He's put up tons of numbers. He's put up tons of triple doubles. He's done it all. And now all he'll be remembered for is he never wins.
Never.
No one cares about all never his numbers. Wins. All they talk about is he never wins. So you could score 50 a night if you never win. You know what he is? He's like, and I know he's not like him as a player, but he's basically Dominique Wilkins. Dominique Wilkins was the most exciting player I ever saw in my life that never sniffed anything. Nothing, ever. Not even close. Not even within arm shot. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. James Harden, his career is an utter flop. If he's so great, He would have won something. He can't win anything. And it's only getting worse. He's never going to do it at his age. It's already they always say the window's closing. His window's been shut and they put in Anderson windows. So you can't break into those. It's over. That guy's career's over. He's not winning anything in Denver or in Houston. If they bring him to Houston, they're morons. He's not going to make them better. He's going to make them worse.
I don't think that would qualify for the competitive team that he was talking about. Quickly, let's hear Daryl Morey. Of course, they chopped Doc Rivers the other day. Here's Morey confirming that Embiid was not happy with the decision.
They had a strong relationship. I mean, they're, you know, I have to make tough calls all the time with trades.
Look at this guy. What is this guy's deal?
Joel was disappointed in, some of it was he didn't know the player we were getting in the trade who ended up helping us, but he was disappointed in the players that went out. I think it's natural to be very close with the people in the locker room. He was very close with Coach Rivers. And yeah, he was shocked about the change, and and it's my job to help convince him that the new coach is someone that he'll have a great relationship with as well.
This guy, the way he talks loosely like that, like, no wonder he blew $200 billion in China. He seems like a moron to me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
The NBA bet and get deal at BetMGM is incredible. Use the bonus code SGNBA. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up, deposit at least 10 into your account. Place a pregame money line wager of at least 10 bucks on an NBA playoff game. You're going to get bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your wager. The amount of the bonus bets depends on the state that you live in. Check out the details at BetMGM.com. It's time for the Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM with Coach James Young. I want to start with Harden. We were making fun of all of his demands for his new team. 4 years, wants to be, the freedom to be who he is and all this other stuff. And I said, Carver, I said he deserves a ride to and from the gym in the morning as well. I said that he'll never win anywhere. He's already proven that he can't win on the best teams. He ruins every team he's on. He's going to ruin Houston if he goes there. And if he goes anywhere else, he's not going to win there either. I mean, his career is so far down the other side of the mountain, it's not even funny. I wouldn't listen to one of his demands. And I don't think he's worth $35 million either. I think he's worth $15 million at best.
$35 million? Psh, who is he, Pat McAfee making that kind of money? He don't deserve that kind of money. $35 million. And that, now all of a sudden, I want to be the player who I want to be. So now he ran Doc Rivers out of town. Don't worry, folks. Doc ran his own ass out of town. Let's just call it what it is. But now he wants to, they want to think about Mike D'Antoni. Like, you want to talk, if they get Mike D'Antoni and he stays in Philadelphia, I will call within 1 year, Joel Embiid asks out of Philadelphia. I'll give him 1 year, because you don't sell me to 7 seconds or less with, like, this is like Nash and Stoudemire. This is a completely different big. He's not the athletic run the floor big that you want to run 7 seconds or less. It is a
bad match. He doesn't run at all.
Exactly. It's a bad match. If I'm Daryl Morey, well, he loves D'Antoni, I would say, I ain't doing that. I'm not doing Harden. I'm going to give the keys to Tyrese Maxey. I'm going to get better players around JoJo, and give me Monty Williams, give me Bud, or give me the guy we talked about. Go give my man Sam Cassell a job. He's already on staff. Give the job to Sam Cassell. He's great with the players. Young African-American, connects with these kids. Give Sam the job and let him go to work with Maxey and JoJo.
How is Boston still favored to win the NBA crown the way they looked last night?
Because it's Boston. And everybody thinks, because people think that Boston can turn on and off the switch at any given moment. Let me tell you something. I'm just saying this. I guarantee you the city that's most nervous besides Boston is Vegas. Because watch them get taken to the cleaners with the Miami Heat. And we've been saying it. Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the league. You think down halftime they weren't going to adjust? So they're playing at an insane level. Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Butler, Tim Hortons, whatever the hell you want to call him. He's the real deal. And all the other guys are there too. And I said it 2 days ago. I said plus 2.5, minus 140. I'm one win away. Pharrell, this team, Miami, they're going to the NBA Finals. And if Boston don't get their you-know-what together in game two, it could be 2-0 heading to South Beach, and it's going to be all over.
And they play even better at home than they do on the road. And they've been savages on the road. They've won the first game in every series. They out. This team's doing nothing at all except bending over, and they couldn't hit a shot. It wasn't about the Celtics. It was about the Heat just destroying them and every guy. And how about the way Lowry came out last night in the first and started jacking shots and making everything? He had like 13 or 15 in the first 12 minutes. Like, are you kidding me?
Listen, this team, they got vets, man. They got vets. They got tough dudes. They got guys that literally, they came out the locker room like that bully. You know what I'm saying? They see that kid across the way on recess before lunch. Give me the damn lunch money. And give me your shoes too. If you have a belt, I'll take it. I'll whoop you with it. That's what they did. They took the lunch money. They took the shoes. They took the women. They took everything.
The women
took everything from them. And now you're looking at Boston, and you can't look at me and be like, well, Joe Mazzulla's going to adjust, and they're just going to roll this series. Like, these guys, they're different. You know what I'm saying? They're just so different. And we talked about it. Like, you can sit there. This guy outcoached Budenholzer and Tibbs. Let me give you something right now, folks. Joe Mazzulla ain't no Budenholzer. Joe Mazzulla ain't no Tom Thibodeau. And Joe Mazzulla is certainly not Eric Spoelstra.
He got taken to school by Spo. I said earlier he just got his training wheels off last week. So let's talk about the lion's share for tonight, the Scooby Snacks. And the last thing I want to talk to you about after that is the G League. We were talking earlier about it. Just hold this thought. That why are all these guys in the top 10 coming from the G League, it looks like, in mock drafts? And I said to Carver High, because I think it's actually one step above college basketball now, and it's just not on national television. Get your opinion on that after your Scooby Snacks.
Well, everybody's saying that the Lakers are coming back and it's going to be 1-1. Guess what? I ain't one of them. Give me the Nuggets minus 5.5. Lakers still struggle 1-4 against the spread the last 5 road games. The Nuggets are 7-2 against the spread the last 9 home games, and they're undefeated at home in the playoffs. They are playing at a really, really high clip at home. I don't buy the fact that Hachimura is going to now change the series, although I do like his points prop. I do like the Nuggets minus the points. Next, I'm going over again, 225.5. Over is 12-3-1 against the last 16 Laker road games, 7-3-1 to the over, the Nuggets last 11 overall, 7-2 to the over the last 9 meetings in Denver. Listen, they can't stop the Joker. Joker can't stop AD. So right there and there, you probably got 50, 70 points right there between the two of them. They're going to get over 225.5. Next, this is where I'm going with this. I'm going to go with Jamal Murray over 5.5 assists. I know it's a lot of juice at minus 150. I want you to think about this, folks. This is not a trend, okay? This is about one thing and one thing only. they're going to adjust. Meaning, you saw in the game, they ran that action, right, Pharrell? They set that little pin down screen. Here comes Jamal Murray. Schroeder kept going under. He got the J. If I'm the Lakers, I go over. I push him to the basket. That means you spray the ball out with shooters. Jamal Murray over 5.5 assists tonight.
All right, what's your thought on the G League, where it's at these days, and all these kids that are coming out of it that are going to be in the top 10 and top, you know, first-round picks?
Well, I think it's a fantastic idea. What they need for real is they need some kind of national TV deal, more than just on NBA TV, whether it's ESPN, Turner, whoever. They need a deal. These kids coming out here are getting the NBA treatment with the trainers, the skill development, and they, here's the big thing, folks. They're not going to class. You got to remember, folks, in college, there is a 20-hour limit during the season, 8 hours off-season. Off-season start ends 6 weeks before the beginning of the season, which is the end of September. So you got to figure from the end of September to the end of March, they only get 20 hours a week, and games count, Pharrell, for 3 hours. So you're only getting limited practice time. They get the NBA treatment. It should be the wave of the future. That is why, folks, one of the reasons why college is begging on this NIL money, because they're hoping to get enough money so these kids don't go to the G League. That is why college basketball is surviving on is NIL. These kids are going to get a payday. They get better treatment with the G League. And when you have Scoot Henderson and you have the Thompson twins, you got three of the top five picks probably in the draft right there.
What do you mean by all these hours, so people can understand that you're talking
about? So you have 20 hours during the week. I'm sorry, and it's 2.5 hours for every game. So if you play three games, that's 7.5 out of 20 hours. That means you only get 12.5 hours of practice time the rest of the week. And that includes film and weightlifting. So it's limited practice time, and you only get 8 hours during the offseason, 4 on the floor, 4 in the weight room. So you don't get as much access to the players as you think in college.
So do you feel, respectfully, I got 30 seconds. Do you feel the basketball is better in the G League than in college, the game itself?
I think so. You're going to have to get more players to bring the talent pool up of the G League. I think college basketball with the NIL is in big trouble. And Caleb Love, next time, go to class. Get better grades. We see how, what they do at North Carolina. Bro couldn't even get into Michigan. Lord have mercy.
Well, because he had bad grades, but it is hard to get into Michigan. It's harder to get into Michigan than it is North Carolina. I'll tell you that much.
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
But he didn't get in there. He couldn't transfer there because he didn't have the grades. That's so embarrassing. Where's he going to go? Hamtramck Tech?
Go to Mormon. Hey, cool him.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver Highway, transition into some baseball now.
Yes, let's do that. A couple of things from this afternoon, as you know already. The Angels did beat the Orioles 6-5. A Shohei Ohtani RBI single. Really not a traditional one, Scotty, the go-ahead. It actually went to the first baseman, caught it in the hole. Nobody covered first, and that ended up scoring the go-ahead run for the Angels. They win it 6-5. Marlins won again. They beat the Nationals 5-3. The Mets ended up beating the Rays on the Tommy Pham single in the sixth. So they got a 3-2 win. And the Guardians did finally beat the White Sox this afternoon, 3-1, a victory for them. Let's talk about the Yankees and the Blue Jays, because a lot has gone on the last few days between these two teams. Last night, great pitching duel. Cole and the Bassett Hound traded zeros for most of the night, actually went to extras, still tied with Bagels. But in the bottom of the 10th, Scotty, unfortunately, Danny Jansen with the walk-off on TSN.
And a fly ball to deep left field, and Danny Jansen is sent home. is a second walk-off hit in 4 days.
Yeah, they both pitched really well. Jansen comes up with a big hit. Yankees up 2-1 in the set, the final game tonight.
Final game tonight. I know you talked a little bit about it with Davis earlier. The way that this thing has been handled by Toronto after the Judge stuff on Monday night with him looking at the dugout, possibly one of the stupider things I've ever seen in baseball ever. When you start getting so stupid that you have to start talking about where the coaches are standing on the first and the third baseline, I mean, that's how ridiculous and weak you look when you got to start getting involved in that. I thought it was embarrassing.
And like the dugout making fun of the guy, right. You know, being fat, you know, and the announcers. And I think Shulman's great. Isn't that who does the games? I think
for Toronto,
he's,
yeah.
I think he's a great announcer for them. I've listened to many Blue Jay games. I've been up there for him. I think he's great. I just cannot believe they spent the whole night accusing Judge of cheating. And then the next day, the guy says he tipped his pitches, and they didn't talk about that, you know, they should have eaten a massive D for all of their comments about Judge being a cheater. You know what? Win the game tonight, take 3 of 4 and get out of there. It doesn't matter. Does anyone really give a rat's ass what anyone in Toronto thinks in New York? I can guarantee you, no. No one cares.
Domingo Germán is going to get 10 games for the sticky hands. He is not going to appeal, which was kind of weird that after all that stuff going on, the Yankees did get a guy thrown out of the game.
I'm glad he cheats.
He pitches better when he cheats.
Listen, if Cole could get away with it, he'd never give up a run. When he used the stick, his stuff was unhittable. So if you can get away with it, if you could pull it off, you're a genius. Because I think the most ridiculous thing in baseball now is the getting felt up by the ump after every inning.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, don't touch me.
Yeah.
Get away from me.
Yeah, well, this is, they warned him a couple weeks ago when they played Cleveland, I guess it was, and then they finally got him the other night.
Remember Negro when he threw the nail file out of his pocket? That was the greatest move ever.
Yeah.
Like on national television, your boys, he flicked it in the air and he was like, what?
Can you just imagine if they were patting those guys down back in the day, the 70s and the 80s, if they were patting those pitchers down, please. Nobody'd be able to pitch.
Honestly.
Nobody would be able to pitch all the stuff that some of those guys, not all of them, obviously, but a very large majority of them.
Oh, they sure did.
Did have. The Dodgers beat the Twins yesterday 7-3. Significant thing for the Dodgers, Dustin May left after the first inning. Going to miss at least a month with an elbow issue. And me and you, the doctors that we are, we know elbow issues, and they usually last more than a month. So everybody knows. So they could say at least a month all they want. They usually last longer than that.
So he's going to not throw for a month, and then when he throws for the first time in a month, it's going to come back.
Correct. That is precisely what will happen. In the game, 3-3, bottom of the eighth against the Twinkies, and the rookie James Outman, who's had a great start to the year, a grand salami. Clear the deck on Sportsnet LA for the Dodgers.
Baton pass to another rookie, and James Outman lifts a fly ball to center field. It sends Taylor back on the track at the wall. Grand slam! Dodgers take a 7-3 lead.
Yeah, I'm sick of them, honestly.
Is that the Batman theme they were playing for him? A little Batman for Outman there after the grand slam? Nice job at Dodger Stadium. Good job.
I got to tell you, I could care less when they're doing well, honestly.
They are one of the four teams that is playing tonight. We will get to that soon. Only two games in baseball tonight. Very, very weak on a Thursday. The Red Sox beat the Mariners 12-3 at Fenway. Now, we mentioned already that the Mets beat the Rays this afternoon, but we must go back to last night, Scotty, because the Mets have been scuffling so bad, losing to bad teams. It's been a tough 3 or 4 weeks for them. Was last night the turning point of the Mets season? They get a game-tying 3-run homer from Alvarez in the ninth, get down 2 runs in the top of the 10th, and then the polar bear ringing the bell in the bottom of the 10th on SNY to save the day.
Alonso drives one deep left field. Really going back. And it's out of here. And the Mets win it. Into the second deck. Alonso, a three-run shot. And the Mets walk it off for the first time this year.
He hit another one today. So, and they won again today. So maybe it is the turning point for them. Because honestly, they weren't scoring runs forever. Now they're, you know, 8 last night. They won today, I think 3-2. And they got him going. He's, you know, right now, in my opinion, what he's doing in the National League, he's in the head of the pack, as far as I'm concerned, for MVP already. What has he got, like 13, 14 home runs? The guy's raking.
16.
15 now?
16 after today.
16, Christ, I can't keep track of it.
Yeah. He has been really good, the polar bear. The Braves beat the Rangers last night 6-5. Tied in the 9th, Orlando Arcia gives the Braves the lead for good on Valley Sports South.
Arcia to right center field. Back they go. Back it goes. Arcia later. And the Braves have taken the lead in the 9th.
Yeah, I hate them too. I mean, I got a laundry list of teams I don't like.
Acuna Jr. homered in that game also. I would probably say him and Alonso, Scotty. Probably the leaders in the clubhouse right now for that NL MVP, as you were talking about. I'll try to throw you some odds.
Why, what has he got? How many has he hit?
I think he's got 11 or 12, but I know he was the betting leader the other day by quite a bit over everybody else. So they're pushing Acuna Jr. right now as the guy in the National League.
I'm on the polar bear.
So far. A polar bear. One other note for the Rangers. Pitching prospect Kumar Rocker. Remember him? Remember the Mets drafted him initially, Scotty, and they didn't want to sign him with the deal because they thought there was maybe some problems with his arm, his elbow, his shoulder? Well, it turns out he is going to have Tommy John a couple years later for the Rangers. So Rocker finished.
I guess they were right. Wild.
Guess they were right. Cardinals beat the Brewers 3-0. So that's, I think, 5 out of 6 for the Cardinals. Swept the Red Sox over the weekend. Took 2 out of 3 from Milwaukee at home. Paul DeJong with a 2-run homer on Valley Sports Midwest.
Fly ball center. Wiener going back. Still going. Track. Long. She is gone.
Yeah, they're hot. I think the series in Fenway, they played their best, and then they put 18 on them, I think, in the first game of the series. Then they lost, then they won and won. So they just keep winning all of a sudden, so they're hot. By the way, Acuna is 11, and Polar Bear is 16, so it's not even close, if you ask me. It's like, this guy's a monster hitting home runs. He's going to hit 50 to 60 home runs. He really is going to be in that window of, I think, 52 plus. And Acuña can't hit that many home runs, if you ask me. And he'll get injured again like he always does.
Well, for MVP right now, they have Acuña at plus 130 as the favorite for the NL MVP. Alonso is third at 13-1. So plus 130 for Acuña, 13-1.
Who's second?
For Alonso. Tatis Jr. at 12-1, who he's played, he's played like 3 weeks, but they have Tatis.
I mean, stop.
At 12-1.
Honestly, but that entire list is so stupid. Don't even get me started. Well, Alonso's the MVP. Tatis is nothing but a juice head and a liar. I don't want to hear it.
I think if the Mets continue after what they done last night and today, and they start winning ball games and get themselves, you know, well over 500 and a little bit closer to the Braves, I think that's when you'll see that gap in that NL MVP market get a little closer.
I think
just because of how the Mets have played.
Yeah, malaise April, May. And then what they really need to do is man the F up in June, July, August, and September and take it. What they need to do is take that division in those 4 months. We've seen this before. We saw the Nationals go like 19-31 and then win the World Series. I don't want to even look. like go there that, you know, they played terribly in my opinion in April and so average in May. It's not even funny. I'd give them terrible then on top of April. Well, but I think, you know, June, July, August, September, I still believe the Mets are going to end up rising to the top. Cream always rises.
Well, let's remember, last year, the Mets led the NL East the entire season, and the Braves caught him in September.
And blew it.
I mean, the Mets were in first place the whole year. So, I mean, you never know. Maybe it's going to be reversed this year. Maybe the Braves are going to be in first for the majority of the year, and the Mets catch hot in the second half and overtake.
So let me ask you this. The guy, let me go a step further. The guy has 10 more RBIs, Alonso. He's got 5 more home runs. But they're basing it on him hitting 345 and scoring 10 runs more.
Right.
I guess he's got 10 more runs scored than Alonso. Alonso's not a base path terror running around scoring runs. He gets on base. Right. He's got a good eye, hits home runs, hits for power, and drives in runs.
Well,
I'd rather have a home run hitter and a guy that drives in runs than a guy that hits for average and scores runs. I know that sounds crazy, but everyone, chicks dig the long ball. MVPs,
chicks dig the long
ball.
They
win it with guys that hit home runs and drive in runs.
And look, I understand that point, and Alonso's numbers are great. I could see the Acuna point if we're going by how good the team is and the most valuable aspect, but I've been told now that that doesn't matter anymore with Ohtani. So if we're just going by numbers, then yes, it should be closer. With Polar Bear and with Acuna, because what your team's record is shouldn't matter in the MVP.
It's the same thing as those NBA odds you flash on this show every day. I want to puke. And the odds are so demented in all the sports. It's not even funny.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another exciting edition of Today in Carver High History.
How about we start in 1956 today? Mickey Mantle hits a homer from both sides of the plate in the same game for the third time in his career. 71, Montreal Canadiens win the cup in 7 over the Blackhawks. 2 Henry Richard goals. 1990, Yari Curry. Was it his birthday today, Scotty? Did you have Curry in the birthday roll call?
Yes.
On this day in 1990, he sets a Stanley Cup final single-game scoring record. 3 goals and 2 assists against the Bruins. 94, Milan beats Barcelona in the second-ever Champions League final. 2002, War Emblem wins the Preakness to take the first 2 legs of the Triple Crown. No Belmont, though. Didn't get it. Also in 2002, first fight of their epic trilogy, Mickey Ward beats Arturo Gatti by majority decision in Connecticut. Those were fights. Ward and Gatti, those guys got after it. There is no question about that. 2004, Randy Johnson becomes the 16th pitcher in MLB history to throw a perfect game. He did this one at 40.
And a 2-2 to Perez.
Yeah!
Swing and a miss, and Randy Johnson, at 40 years young, has thrown a perfect game, the 7th in National League history.
Oh, look at his teammates out there, Mom and him, Tommy. Oh, that is awesome. What a way to start a road trip, baby.
There you go.
That guy was something else.
He was something else. Also, another no-hitter on this day in 2021, Spencer Turnbull, a no-hitter for the Tigers against the Mariners. I know we all remember Spencer Turnbull, who I believe is still in the Tiger rotation.
Listen, honestly, they don't make them like Gatti and Ward anymore. Haney and Lomachenko, and like we're supposed to get excited for that? I wasn't even excited. I got to be honest with you. You know, everyone got so worked up over Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia. That was a massive letdown, too. They just don't have good fights anymore at all.